Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
Oh, yes, live from the VMAC. Dick Fain here. Hugh Millen is with us. Hugh, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Dick. How are you?
All right, I'm great. We are blowing off the update. We are apologize, Venue Kings, because when the newest defensive lineman of the Seattle Seahawks comes moseying over wearing number 93, Shelby Harris, we talk to Shelby Harris, don't we, Hugh? We got to talk to one of the newest members of the Seattle Seahawks. And Shelby, welcome. We actually had you on, I don't know, I think it was during minicamp. And I remember you were a fantastic interview, so I'm glad you came over. Chris did a hell of a job bringing you over here. So how does it feel, day number one, 90-degree heat in Seattle? Just what you were expecting, right? 90-degree heat in Seattle.
Man, everybody lied to me, man. They said it doesn't get that hot out here. You know, first day of practice is steaming. So it's cool, though. You know, love the team, love the atmosphere, love all the fans out here. You know, this is what you do it for. You know, this is year nine, and, you know, couldn't feel any younger.
Well, on the other end of the line here, you got a former Denver Bronco quarterback. So he knows a little bit about the Denver Broncos. He knows a little bit of something what you went through. So, Hugh, why don't you fire away, my man?
Yeah. Shelby, welcome. And by the way, you'll have plenty of clouds and drizzle. It's coming. But I would love to go back and just take us to the moment that you found out about the Russell Wilson trade, that you're part of this kind of historical trade, certainly for both franchises. Just what was your immediate reaction? How did you hear it? And walk us through that experience.
Well, actually, I was sitting in the Broncos facility actually when I found out about the trade. I was just got done eating lunch and I was sitting there with a couple of my team, one of my teammates or whatever, and it popped up Russell Wilson getting traded to the Broncos. And then I look down. I'm getting a call from the GM. So you know what that means.
And
so,
two and two. Yep.
You know, initial reaction. I have a family, so it was more of just like this is going to be how are you going to figure this all out. How are you going to, move from Denver to Seattle? You got a freshman in high school. You got three other young kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we were trying to figure stuff out. So the whole thoughts and then everything was more of like, what am I going to do with my family? But then, once I got up here and, started talking to all the staff and, got acquainted with all the team, it made me really excited just for, the direction of the team and, what they have planned for me individually and just, what this defense can do.
So have you settled here with your family yet? Are you kind of waiting until the regular season starts? Are you all taken care of? You got schools and all that good stuff taken care of?
No, so pretty much what my family's going to do, they're going to come back and forth. It's because I always said I would never move a kid in high school.
Okay.
So, they're always coming back and forth. And luckily, my in-laws live in Denver. And so, the oldest would be able to stay with them while the other ones come up here for a little bit. So, it'll be cool. But it's I'm pretty much settled out here. Still, I'm packing a couple boxes. But, it's been real cool out here, except for the weather.
Yeah, that's been hot. That's not been cool, no question. Hugh, what do you got?
Yeah, you mentioned a moment ago that you were excited about the direction of the new scheme and what have you. And so when I think of the Seahawks, it's a pretty big shift. As you know, we haven't seen a 3-4 around here in a long time. When I think of a defensive lineman in a 3-4, I think of that zero technique, that nose tackle who's got to be a big dude with two gapping responsibilities, and then call them defensive ends, whatever, the four technique, the four eye guys, the guys that are kind of head up or near head up on those tackles, they've got to be kind of a hybrid, kind of a cross between a defensive tackle and a defensive end, that's still doing some two gapping and what have you. So maybe for our listeners, walk us through your skill set, where you see yourself in relation to those positions and your thoughts about that defense.
Well, in the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years, I've played 3-4 defensive end. So I've played, head up on the tackle. You might go down and play the 3-tech. You pretty much play everything other than, you know, the nose. But it's a cool, you know, it's a cool defense because it kind of gives the defense lineman freedom to kind of go out there and make plays and kind of look in gaps and, you know, shoot the gap, make a play, and make things easy on our linebackers and our DBs. And so it's a great defense for you know, younger players, I mean, for, you know, D-linemen to make plays and open it up for everybody else.
So do you find yourself almost as a teacher? Because you're more familiar with this defense than a lot of these returning guys, than probably all these returning guys in this team.
Yeah, you know, it's just like little things that what you're looking at, and you know, where your eyes should be going, and then where, obviously, you know, your footwork behind it. And since I've done it, obviously, it's a lot easier for me to just tell them, like, just where you should be, like, looking in these formations. And so, you know, kind of teaching, but then still, you know, still learning, because obviously it's a little bit different terminology and stuff. So,
right.
You know, still got to learn a little bit, but just helping wherever I can.
So, as far as your impressions here of being a Seahawk and the way, the Seahawk way, if you will, the way Pete Carroll and the staff coaches, I know from bouncing around the league that there's certain tenets that every team wants to aspire to. Those are obvious, but there are differences, some subtle, not so subtle, in every team. What has struck you most as different than what you experienced in Denver?
You know, a big thing is just like having fun, you know, and they let you be you out here. They want you, like, if you're loud, if you're funny, if you're quiet, be you. Be whatever makes you you, whatever got you here, just like be you. And so I think it's just like cool how they embrace everybody's personalities and just kind of, they don't try to change them. They just try to, you know, guide you in the right direction.
Well, that's what a lot of people say, and that's why people come back. People leave the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. They end up coming back later on in their career. So that's definitely a testament to Pete and the work that he does. Hey, welcome to Seattle. Sorry it's 92 degrees. I know you weren't expecting that. Hopefully this will go away because none of us like it either, all right? Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, Shelby sure. Harris joining us here on 93.3 KJRFM. But, Hugh, I mean, this is an exciting change, I think. I mean, I think the Seahawks defense, while they have been, and you and I have discussed it, Softy and I have discussed it, I've been more kind of a defender of the numbers that the defense has put up as far as, hey, look, they're top 10 in points allowed. What's wrong with that? And yet I understand there are other parts of being a successful defense, like taking the ball away, which they were basically worst out of anybody in the league last year, and hopefully this change will make an impact on that.
Yeah, and I agree that points is the number one most important, but I don't think that that's to the exclusion of some other important aspects. I think Carroll calls it complementary football, and that has to do with, as you said, the takeaways are going to give you the great field position. But I think that if you're really struggling in terms of yielding yards and yielding time of possession, then that's not complementary football because the offense will have worse field position. Their sweat dries. They get out of a rhythm because they've been standing on the sideline drinking Gatorade and watching the defense play. So I think that Seattle's was guilty of that, not playing complementary football. I'll give you a stat. Seattle, by virtue of not turning the ball over and their good special teams, defensively, it's hard to excuse me. It's not that hard. I'm not choked up about it. I just I think I have an almond lodged here. But
you want to hold on that thought because we have Mike Florio holding on ready to roll. So
we okay. Well, we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. 3:30. Yeah, but we got Mike Florio now. Let's go.
It's time for our weekly conversation with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Tired of buying and repping the same old Seattle sports gear everyone else has? For the best Storm, Seahawks, Mariners, Kraken, Rainiers, Sounders, and not to mention the largest Sonics collection in the world, check out SimplySeattle.com. Now with Mike Florio, here's Softy and Dick.
Get all your Seahawks training camp gear, all your Seahawks gear for the season ahead at SimplySeattle.com. Simply Seattle still offering their package where for just $30 you can get any t-shirt plus a ticket to the Mariners-Angels game on next Friday, August 5th. Grab that deal at SimplySeattle.com. Michael Florio, how are you, man?
Doing great, guys. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Well, we're out at training camp. It's 92 degrees, so our world changes. I know your world changes when training camp starts. What does your world look like training camp-wise? Are you one of those NASA reporters that gets out to various training camps, or do you kind of keep it close there to your homestead and do the radio show from there?
Guys, you don't know me very well. I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything. I stay home, and I like it that way. No, when training camp opens, the nerve center here in West Virginia, where I run PFT, becomes activated. We're no longer scrounging for stories. The fruit is falling off the trees and landing in our shoes, and we're just trying to keep up with all the developments. So there's no point running around from camp to camp. You waste a lot of time traveling for what we do. What we do is we feed the beast nonstop, and you can't feed the beast if you're sitting in the back seat of a car.
Well, what beast is being fed right now? What are the top stories that you see in the league?
Well, the biggest story continues to be what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, and we're just in wait-and-see mode. The ruling from Judge Robinson can come at any time. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. I would like to think it comes by the end of the week, simply because if she issues any discipline at all, the NFL has the opportunity to appeal to the commissioner, and also Watson would have the opportunity to appeal. They want to get that buttoned up by week one so that the Browns know going into the season how long they're not going to have them or if they're not going to have them at all. So that continues to be the thing that's kind of holding up. And then the quarterback competitions, I mean, I know you guys have one there, but in Carolina, what's going to happen with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold? In Pittsburgh, is Kenny Pickett going to work his way up the depth chart? What's going to happen with Jimmy Garoppolo? That's a front burner topic right now, since it seems the 49ers have finally given up that stupid-ass, sorry, ruse of, hey, we're going to get a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. No, you're not. No, you're not. Oh, we may keep him. We may actually keep him and pay him $25 million. No, you're not. They're in fire sale mode. It was smart for them to finally wake up out of that fever dream and just admit that we just have to unload this guy. And the question is somebody going to trade for him? Or are they going to cut him before week one? He's not going to be on that roster when the season starts. They finally turned the page to Trey Lance.
So, Mike, was the Cardinals' decision to put that independent study clause in Kyler Murray's contract crazy, or was it crazy like a fox?
Well, could be both. I mean, it could be that they thought that the way this would work would be that they put the clause in. They insisted on that clause, just like there's a no baseball clause. There's a reason for it. He's a baseball player, so we put in a no baseball clause. Well, we put in a thou shalt study clause because he's a guy who doesn't study. So you put it in there, the world becomes aware of it inevitably, and then he gets shamed maybe into working even harder than the 4 hours per week that he's required to work under the terms of his contract. So maybe that is the red hot poker that gets him to move his game to a higher level. Because look, if he's as good as he is without properly studying each opposing defense, think of how much better he'll be if he does start grinding film like a Peyton Manning and other elite quarterbacks do when they commit their lives to their craft and they're obsessed with finding any edge they can in any tendency or tell they can glean from film. So that part of it, if they meant to do it, is smart. I'm not sure they meant to do it. And I'm not sure it outweighs the damage it does to the relationship. Look, I've been saying this all week. I remember after Russell Wilson signed his most recent contract with the Seahawks in 2019. I may have said this with you guys then, I can't remember, but I developed a sense not long after that he's not signing another contract with the Seahawks, that he's going to be gone at some point, and everybody thought I was crazy. And they're right, but they can't use this as evidence. I'm starting to get that same feeling that it could go that way with Kyler Murray, that this could be the kind of thing that drives a wedge that they never really come back from. And 2-3 years from now, he becomes the guy who tries to tweet or talk his way out of Arizona if the relationship doesn't find a way to strengthen, because he's got to view this, no matter what he says. He's not a guy to say a lot publicly. Privately, he's got to be pissed off that they made him look bad, and that may be something that he can't get past.
And the other part of it, I backed up three Hall of Famers and then three additional guys that made Pro Bowls, and just kind of observing how those guys interacted with the team and how the team responded to those guys. Mike, I got to tell you, I'm just imagining how the Cardinals feel about this. I would think that you know, at least moderately, maybe significantly, undermines the leadership capacity that he has in the minds of his teammates.
Well, you're absolutely right, because leadership is about accountability. And how can you expect your teammates to go bust their butts studying film if you're not? That's why a great franchise quarterback sets the tone. That's why I said with Russell Wilson, when he wanted more involvement in the offense and they basically told him, just worry about playing. And Aaron Rodgers had that complaint in the past. If you expect the quarterback to be the guy who really is all in and doing all these things and working hard and using that example to lead his teammates to work hard, then he should have a seat at the table. Well, Kyler Murray, if he's not working hard, he's got no credibility to inspire his teammates to work hard. And that's the problem. And, you know, look at a guy like Peyton Manning. He walks through the door and he takes over an organization. He's not just inspiring his teammates. He's inspiring everybody to do their jobs better. And Russell Wilson has done that in Denver. I've talked to people there, and that was one of the things that they said, that the moment he walks through the door, it elevates everyone. The expectation that everyone is going to do their job to the best of their ability immediately ratchets up. If your starting quarterback isn't doing everything that he can do to be as good as he can be, he's got no ability to truly lead his teammates. So that is, I think, a very real factor, and it's one of the reasons why the Cardinals, who were kind of caught in a bad spot here, because I've had people ask me, well, why'd they pay him if they've got this concern? Well, what else are they going to do? Go back to Josh Rosen? If you've got a quarterback who's good enough, you find a way to make it work out.
Well, and that's the situation that the Ravens are in, and that's the next quarterback on the contract list. And I'm reading here from Mike Sando's quarterback ratings, a defensive coordinator quote, if he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete. He's really a good football player, but I don't care if he wins 12 MVPs. I don't think he'll ever be a number one as a quarterback. Is there that fear in the Ravens locker room and in the Ravens, general manager front office of that concern that defensive coordinator has?
No, they're all in with Lamar Jackson. The fact that they've built their offense around Lamar Jackson shows what they feel of Lamar Jackson. And look, I got no problem with Mike Sando doing his job and creating these things, but anytime somebody's expressing opinions like that without attaching their name to it, I put no stock in it whatsoever. It could have been Jack Del Rio. Wouldn't you feel very differently if it was Jack Del Rio versus a highly respected and widely regarded defensive coordinator? Like, it may be a guy who's not very good, and he's exposing why he's not very good if he's got that opinion of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has improved when the game's on the line. And, you know, the guy was an MVP in 2019. I think the biggest problem for Lamar was he was so good so quickly, it set a bar that he's had a hard time meeting since then. So some people perceive he's not as good as he used to be. Whereas maybe we just need to appreciate how special he was in 2019. And, you know, he's still in the prime of his career. And we'll see what he can do by way of taking it to a next level. But, you know, again, what do the Ravens do if they don't have Lamar Jackson? They're not going to turn it over to Tyler Huntley. He does the same things as Lamar Jackson, but not nearly as well. So if he had an agent, he'd already have a contract. The problem there is he doesn't have an agent. It makes a very, very delicate situation when the team wants to do a deal that's good for it, but it doesn't want to do a deal that's so good that it takes advantage of the player.
Mike Florio with us. Mike, let's stick with quarterbacks and go back. You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo being one of the hotbed stories going. I thought that Kyle Shanahan was pretty candid, and I guess it was a podcast or whatever the source was, where he was saying, hey, look, this was a decision was made, there's cap implications, what have you, we're going to Trey Lance. Can we glean from that he's put his eyeballs on Trey Lance for the last few months in practice, in these mini camps and what have you, and that he's developed a more of a comfort level, despite the fact that his win percentage with Garoppolo is 69%. And Russell Wilson, by the way, is only 66%. And his win percentage as a 49er coach without Garoppolo, all other quarterbacks, he's 23%. So that's pretty lofty numbers for Garoppolo and yet dismissed by Shanahan. What's your take out there?
Well, the problem with Garoppolo, two things. Number one, he's injury prone. And number two, he can't deliver in the biggest moments. He had Emmanuel Sanders open for a Super Bowl championship, assuming that Patrick Mahomes didn't go down and do the same thing, which he very well might have done. But they go up late in Super Bowl 54 if Garoppolo hits Sanders when he's open. And some guys make that throw and some guys don't. And Garoppolo's not going to carry over the top unless you have the team around him to do it. And maybe they did. The problem is he doesn't stay healthy. They made this decision to go with Trey Lance the moment they drafted him. They just delayed implementation. And they almost got to a Super Bowl without implementing it. And then they really would have been screwed this year. How do you move on from Garoppolo if you get to a Super Bowl with Garoppolo. I mean, that would have blown the whole thing up. I just think, now, look, surely he's not horrified by what he saw in the offseason program to make him say, I can't use this guy. But I think they finally realized, and I got to give them credit here. I ripped them when they were failing to realize this. At some point, you got to tell the world, this is our guy. You know, every quarterback needs to be regarded as the guy. Some guys have the personality to do it on their own. Some guys need an assist. Trey Lance, who's completely unproven and comes from North Dakota State and hardly played in 2020 and hardly played last year and got injured a couple of times when he did, he needs the team to stand up and tell the world, this is our guy. We're done with Jimmy, and this is our guy. So it was overdue, better late than never, and now we'll find out what Trey Lance has. Who knows? Who knows? Because we saw him very limited last year. We thought we were going to have that package with Trey Lance. They got away from that. He played against the Cardinals, injured his knee, played against the Texans, injured his finger. And that would be the great irony here. They fell out of love with Jimmy Garoppolo because he can't stay healthy, and the guy they replaced him with can't stay healthy.
Mike, before I let you go, I will ask you one non-quarterback question, and I want to know about this streaming service, this NFL Plus. Is this going to be a home run, a double, a single? What do you think it's going to look like for the league?
Well, look, if you're going to buy the $4.99 level, I wouldn't waste my money. But if you want Game Pass, and Game Pass is a valuable tool. If you want to watch all the games at your leisure, if you want to watch the condensed games, and I don't want me to do an ad here for the NFL. I mean, I just said don't waste your money on the $4.99. Get the higher level, $80 a year. It's $20 cheaper than Game Pass was anyway. So you get Game Pass for $20 less, plus all the other stuff that most, I don't know, I've got no interest in the other stuff. I would buy it for access to those games, and also it gives you mobile access to your local games, wherever you are, if you happen to not be at home or if you're at work and you're trying to set the phone up somewhere so you can sneak and watch it while you're otherwise doing whatever you do when you're working while a game's going on. So I think the high end's a good deal. I think the low end, don't waste your money.
Great stuff. This is what, I'm going to go in and get the high end just because Mike Florio told me to. Thanks, man. We appreciate it.
I should have negotiated a deal with the NFL to get a piece. Although they would probably insist that I don't say don't waste your money on the low end.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. You gotta,
probably
wouldn't
like that.
You absolutely
That's not
need
part
a
of
cut.
The ad.
Yeah, you absolutely need a cut from the NFL. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Florio, always doing a great job, brought to you by Simply Seattle. A lot to chew on there. We'll get back with Hugh and talk football for the rest of the half hour. I want to talk, I want to finish Hugh's thoughts there on the Seahawks defensive changes. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, very, very interesting stuff we got to get to here with Hugh in the back half of the hour here on 93.3 KJRFM, live from Seahawks training camp.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Penn Station has the hot grilled subs you need to not go hungry for the game. Choose from chicken teriyaki, hot Italian sub, or the Philly cheesesteak. Make it a three-point play with their delicious fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade. We even cater party sub trays to feed your whole team. Winner, winner. At Penn Station East Coast Subs, don't worry about missing the game. Order to go at PennStation.com and we'll have it ready for carryout. Get it delivered or stop by a Penn Station near you. Penn Station East Coast Subs.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
Well, I'm staring here at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center sign with a huge Seahawk logo on it. I want to talk football with Hugh Breedlove-Millen, and we will talk football with Hugh Breedlove-Millen. But today at T-Mobile Park, first, we got to talk about this.
That was just offline. Right. 1-1. That will plenty do it! Say goodbye, Julio! Off the scoreboard, a three-run jack, and the Mariners have a 4-2 lead! What a world to live in with Julio Rodriguez!
Ah, great call, Dave Sims.
Yes, it was.
Root Sports on the call. Love Simsy. Love Julio. And the guy has just got a flair for dramatic. And for anybody that doesn't think that the Mariners would have won at least a game against the Houston Astros, this team is just different when Julio Rodriguez plays. And they came from behind last night and got a one-run win. They come from behind today and get a one-run win. And you're back to your high water mark of the season, Hugh. You've erased the sweep of the Houston Astros with a sweep of the Texas Rangers.
Yeah. Well, I think that one thing to consider, you know, there's a lot of discussion about Julio's culpability and what he should have done or shouldn't have done with respect to that injury and playing. But, you know, one thing that we can consider, and we could have had this discussion even before the fact, but we have more facts available to us now. One thing that by Julio going down and really lighting up the world down there in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium, that may have been transformative in his mind in terms of maybe a catalyst would be another way to describe it. In Julio's mind, it was like, okay, I am the dude for the Seattle Mariners. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that may have been, I mean, I was in Atlanta when we drafted Deion Sanders. I've been around, you know, stars that are supposed to come in as a young guy and be, you know, a really a transformative player. It's certainly possible that Rodriguez's performance in the All-Star, particularly the home run contest, that he now, when he looks in the mirror, he sees a different guy. And he sees a guy that is capable of putting that team on. And now he's been emboldened with the confidence like, hey, I can be that kind of impact player. So if that happened, in the theory would be this. If that happened in his own mind, and we don't know, all we can do is say, here's signs that are reliable indicators. But we could come back a month from now, 2 months from now, and say, you know what? It was worth if we knew the following two things. Julio Rodriguez is going to bang 81 homers in Dodger Stadium, and they're going to come back and get swept by the Astros. But through that process, he is going to put that crown on his head, knowing that he is the alpha dude on that team. And have the confidence and be willing to take it on. It could happen. I don't think that's an absurd proposition. What happened today may be a manifestation of that. I don't know. It's just a theory, but it is worth considering when we're trying to talk about the cost of Rodriguez in that home run derby.
And I don't love the Griffey Julio Rodriguez comparisons. I try to shy away from them, but I will say that Julio has the flair for the dramatic. No situation seems too big for him. And on the flip side, it almost seems like the bigger the situation, the more he is locked in. And we talked about that last week, Hugh, when you were on with me. And I mentioned, you know, Ken Griffey Jr.'s batting average in his first playoff series of his career. And I just see that in the future. I don't know if I think the Mariners are going to make the playoffs. I don't know if the Mariners will win a first-round playoff series. But something just tells me that Julio Rodriguez is going to do not just one special thing. He is going to do multiple special things on a national stage in his first playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair assertion. It's, you know, maybe a hometown assertion. I think that baseball lends itself to numbers in ways that other sports don't. And you know, it'd be easy for me to jump on the internet. I'd like to know what's his OPS and batting average and what have you with runners in scoring position. What's his performance with runners in scoring position in the seventh inning or later? I know that these kind of things are tracked. So if you're going to build an argument about him being a clutch player, we actually have readily accessible data upon which to build that argument. And so, you know, maybe I'll do it in the commercial break, but I tend to agree with you, but I'm not going to say, yeah, Dick, you're on it, and then turn around and, you know, during a commercial break and then pull up numbers that don't support that theory. But again, we're talking about an emerging player that started his career this year, you know, with a squeeze strike zone, and he was able to show the maturity to get through that phase. And now it's just, I mean, if you're making a graph of Julio Rodriguez, it almost looks like an exponential graph. And now that but an inflection point on that graph may have been his performance in the All-Star game. particularly the home run contest, and his now that sense of like, hey, I have arrived. And that would be an important piece of psychology in the athlete, in the mind of an athlete, rather, if that did in fact take place. And I'm certain that would be worth losing three games to the Astros if in fact that happened.
I don't think there's any question about it. And I can totally fly with you on that. And I will look up those clutch stats for you. I'll get them by the end of the break here. Internet here at VMAX is a little bit slow. But I want to go back to before we had Florio on, you were about ready to wax poetic about the Seahawks defense. So I'm going to allow you a few minutes here to do just that. And as I cut you off about a half hour ago.
Well, I don't know if I was waxing, and I don't know if I certainly wouldn't have been poetic. But I do think that it's interesting, a philosophical change that here Carroll, in my estimation, watching him as a big time coach. Look, he's all but assured to be someday a college coach Hall of Fame. As far as his production at USC, right? I mean, he won 90% of his games. I mean, you can count on one hand, you know, Frank Leahy's and I don't even know if Bear Bryant did it, you know, but that's rare air, the type of winning that he did at USC. And yet, watching him at USC, he was a cover two, a two high umbrella, keep everything in front of us, a seven-man front type of a guy. Meaning, what does that mean? It means that he was willing to take extra defenders to create kind of a safety net in the back end. He had, in his view, the talent in the front seven with guys like Ray Malauga and Cushing and all those linebackers and those talented front seven guys. Mm-hmm. And then, so I thought that's philosophically how he rolled. Then he comes to the Seahawks and he's not a two high guy. He's a one high guy. He's Cam Chancellor in the box. He's Earl Thomas in the back. And it's a totally different philosophical scheme right from the jump. But he was always doing a 4-3 with 3-4 personnel. So there was a certain, again, football ideology that he expressed. Now, this is a pretty tectonic shift for him based on what we've seen from him, where he's going to the 3-4. I mean, there's a term, the Seattle cover three. If you start talking and reading in football football parlance and in football networks, coaching clinics and what have you, Seattle cover three, it's like people saying Tampa two. Like, most football fans have heard that term, Tampa two, whether they know what it is or not. Well, there's a Seattle cover three. So for Carroll to have such a big shift and go to the 3-4, very intriguing to me. It's not the first time that he has changed schematically in what I thought he was, as I just outlined, his change from USC to the Seahawks. And so, okay, what does that mean? It means that the three defensive linemen, they don't have to be extraordinary athletes. They need to be strong guys. They need to be selfless guys. There needs to be a physicality, but they don't have to be supremely athletic. The nose tackles and the defensive ends do not have to be supremely athletic. The inside linebackers now, with Jordan Brooks and with Cody Barton, those guys are going to have to be a little bit more physical, because there's what's called a bubble over the guard, meaning the offensive guards, they can have free access to the linebacker level. So those linebackers are going to have to take on blocks with a little bit more regularity and be a little bit more physical. Where the athleticism comes in that front seven is the outside linebackers coming off the edge. Mm-hmm. And so I think they have the some intriguing possibilities. Certainly Daryl Taylor, Moby Buffett, the kid from Minnesota. How do we pronounce his name?
Oh yeah, the second round draft pick,
Boye Mafe.
Yeah. Yeah, Boye
Mafe.
Yeah.
I apologize. Yep. I need to get the roster right in front of me. Boye Mafe. So there's some guys that, and I've studied him. Obviously, I didn't study his name real well, but I studied the player. but again, the juice athletically in that front seven is coming off the edge at the linebacker position. as opposed to defensive ends in the 4-3. And they used to play an under front. I know there's some football people say, well, they'd run the under. You don't get a lot of juice from the five tech. I get that. It was more the weak side defensive end. But but again, getting back to the crux of it, now they're an outside linebacker. That's where the sacks are going to have to come from. And now, one final thought on the 3-4. As a quarterback, if I'm going into a week and I'm going against a 4-3, the default that I expect is that four men are rushing. That's the standard. That means there's seven guys playing zone defense. It might be five under, two deep. It might be three deep, four under. I might be four deep, three under. Like there's certain zones, but the default is a four-man rush. If it's going to be just a three-man rush, that's a loaded zone, and one of those defensive ends is going to be dropping. You can create a five-man rush where you're going to have a hole in a zone and you're going to have to play zone with six guys or play man-to-man. But the four guys who have their hand on the ground, those are the guys that I assume under normal circumstances are rushing. In a week where we're going against a 3-4, now there's only three guys with their hand in the ground. Mm-hmm. And that means that the defense with four linebackers can rush. They can blitz. I use the word blitz. Because in a fan perspective, one of those four linebackers can blitz, meaning rush the quarterback, and that just creates a four-man rush. That means you can still have your seven men. That's standard. Again, zones are standard seven men. When you hear the term seven on seven, it's because you got seven guys on defense in a standard zone. It could be eight, could be six. In theory, you know, on rare occasions, you see nine-man zones. That would obviously be a two-man rush. But the default is a seven-man in protection and four-man rushing. And right. From a 3-4, you can get that from a, quote-unquote, as football people would say, dog one of those linebackers, meaning blitz one of those linebackers. It's more mental gymnastics for a quarterback to have to process what's happening, certainly protection-wise, in a 3-4. Than it is a 4-3. So you know, the Kyler Murrays who don't want to study, you know, it's just going to be a little bit harder duty for them mentally on Sunday.
All right, great stuff. I got some Julio Rodriguez numbers for you. We'll get those coming up right after the break, right here live from training camp on 93.3 KJR-FM.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
Softy and Dick without the soft one here at VMAC, where it's hot, but I got to admit, I mean, I'm a guy that likes to complain about being the VMAC. It's not oppressively hot, Hugh. It's not nearly as bad as it's been in the past. So,
it's usually humid when it gets this hot in Seattle, right?
Yeah, and it's not too bad. And you know, they do tuck us over here in a corner where there's no breeze. But, you know, if I'm going to save my complaining for days that I actually need to complain. Today's not going to be one of those. But you wanted to clean something up. Before I get you some Julio clutch stats, you wanted to clean something up about...
I'm going to hold everything I said about the 3-4. I just think I'm a little remiss to have gone, the better part of 10 minutes and not mentioned Uchenna Nwosu, yeah. The acquisition from San Diego. If we're talking about the juice coming from the outside linebackers, there's some matrix there where his sacks were not terribly impressive, but his win rate was, and he should have, by that matrix, produced more sacks. Mm-hmm. So I think there's reason to have optimism there, but he's going to be a key part of that defense.
So Julio Rodriguez, earlier today, the three-run blast with runners on second and third brought the Mariners back from 2-1 down. They end up winning by two runs, and that was the key. And we were talking just kind of – I was waxing a little bit about how I felt like there is just this it factor with Julio Rodriguez that just only exists with the elite of the elite, and sometimes even the elite talent – don't necessarily have the elite it factor. Griffey had a remarkable combination of both. I don't feel like Alex Rodriguez had a remarkable combination of both. I just felt like he was a really talented player. Griffey had the elite combination of both. We know Edgar Martinez had that elite combination of both. Julio seems to have that, and so I did want to go, because you raised a fair point. Well, let's see what the numbers say, right? I mean, you can say this guy's clutch, but you know the numbers have kind of have to back it up, or else it doesn't mean anything. So Julio Rodriguez's OPS going into today, obviously it's going to be higher after that, but his OPS going in today was 825, so we'll use that as a baseline. Let's look, first of all, with men on versus no men on. That would be the first objective of whether you're clutch or not. No men on, 749. Men on, 932. Runners on in scoring position, 901. A runner on first, 975. A runner on second, just 718. Runner just on third, 1433. Bases loaded, 1375. Now, obviously, he's getting better pitches to hit, so obviously it should be a little higher, but it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be 500 points higher with runner bases loaded. So you just go down here, and you see that the clutch does check out. Two outs, runners on in scoring position, right around his overall OPS at 828. Tie game, 963. Within one run, 858. Within two runs, 880. Within three runs, 880. This is interesting.
Late innings.
I'll get in late innings in just a second. Margin of four runs or greater. So the game's pretty much out of reach.
It should be lower, hopefully.
533.
There you go.
533. Okay. So when the Mariners have got it in the bag or they're pretty much toast, he's got a 533 OPS in deference to 858, 880, 880
yeah.
when it's 1, 2, and three runs.
Yeah.
So late and close. You did want to see late and close, and it was lower in 55 at-bats late and close. It was just a 658. So when it's the most clutch, but all the other indicators would lend us to believe that when the you-know-what hits the fan, Julio Rodriguez is doing his job.
And I'd also want to know game-winning hits. And by the way, Alex Rodriguez, baseball's all-time Grand Slam leader. So
okay.
So I know it didn't strike you that way, but there are some numbers to – and we don't know. Maybe it was – those were games where they were either way up by four or more runs or way down.
Something, though, but, if you're hitting Grand Slams.
But game-winning hits would be another – you know. So there's a few things, but you're building an argument – to support the claim that he's got that clutch gene, and certainly as a young guy, those are some good numbers to start a career for sure.
Not bad at all. 355 on 93.3 KJR FM. Hugh Millen joining us till 7 o'clock tonight. Petros Papadakis, his weekly conversation comes up next, right after the top of the hour headlines on 93.3 KJR FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.